Hey, I'm Natalie Abbott.
And I'm Vera Schmitz. We are sisters who host the Dwell Differently podcast.
We help you memorize and meditate on one Bible verse every month. And all month long on our podcast, we talk about what that verse means, why it matters, and how we can apply that verse to our daily lives. Hey, welcome back to the Dwell Differently podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Abbott. And today I am so excited about this verse. It's December and we are thinking so much about Jesus and him coming to be with us as people. And the verse that we chose for this month, I think is just such a beautiful verse. So if you're memorizing along with us, then hear me say this. If you're not, I hope that you will. You can go over to our Instagram and screenshot this verse and just put it on your phone and write it on a note card, whatever you can do to help you memorize this verse. Even you could write the first letter of every word in this verse on your wrist in Sharpie, whatever it is going to take for you to memorize this verse, but it is so good. And I want you to hear these words and get them into your heart and in your mind. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. It's Titus 3:4-5a. And today I get to have Randall Goodgame with me. We were talking about this verse and we're talking with you, Randall. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Natalie. It's great to be here. It's such a great verse. Glad to be a part of this one.
For those of you who are moms and dads, you might be like, that name is familiar. That voice sounds familiar to me. If you don't know, Randall, will you tell us what you do for a living?
Sure. I have a children and family ministry called Slugs and Bugs, and it's scripture songs and fun and silly songs for families to grow closer together and closer to the Lord.
I think it's so fantastic. In fact, I was listening to some of your scripture songs and they're beautiful and they help us memorize God's word, which is fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, I always say those songs, they serve me first because I spend a lot of time just kind of meditating over them and listening to what the Lord has for me in them. Mm-hmm. And then by the time I've written them, they're stuck. They're stuck in me. Yeah. And so I just always kind of can't wait once I've finished with a song to get it out to parents and kids, you know, so that the Lord can do his work through them.
Yeah. That's funny that you say that, because I always say that about myself when what I get to do, and like, it's for me. It's first for me.
It's so true.
I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm being convicted, I'm, you know, seeing my own failure. And I'm like, man, I got to share this with people. It's for me first. So I love that you say that, Randall, because I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah. And you know, you probably are this way too, like pastor buddies, friends of mine that are like worship leaders or particularly pastors, that's their story too. You know, it's like they have to get up every Sunday to preach and teach, and having to study it makes it more real. Yeah. If you're surrounding yourself with scripture, then you're just being obedient to the call to, you know, arm yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's funny how sometimes I will be writing about a verse and or studying a verse and I'm like, I gotta call that person. I probably need to apologize. You know, like that conviction of like, you know, when you're dwelling in it, when you're really thinking about it, you're like, oh, I can't just like ignore that in my own life, because here I am trying to help somebody else do this. Like me first, I gotta do that.
I know. It's like that classic thing in a sermon. You know, we always heard growing up, like, don't think about what you're hearing right now as for somebody else. Like, this person really needs to hear this.
Right.
You know, it's for you. It's for me. Yeah. And so, yeah, I just resonate with that so much. Conviction, encouragement, you know, just refreshment about God's faithfulness, all those things that just, that's why it's the living word, you know. Mm.
Yeah. Well, I have this quote. I was stalking you on your website and trying to, you know, find out all, not really stalking you, but, you know, trying to find out some more about who is Randall Goodgame outside of, you know, Slugs and Bugs, you know, because you got a persona, you know, when you're doing Slugs and Bugs, that's a little different than who you are as a human. But I love this quote that you wrote in your bio on your page. It says, "Nothing has impacted my daily hourly, moment by moment walk with Jesus as much as memorizing and meditating on his word. So of course I want that for my kids and for all kids everywhere. And since we work hard to make the music appealing for parents as well, whole families can grow together in their love and knowledge of the word. But I just love what you had to say, like that there's a right order for, you know, how we spend time in the word. And that when we're spending time in the word and we're being impacted by it or memorizing it, then it's something that we're like, man, I got to give this to my kids. Or man, I want to give this to other people. I want the whole world to know this beautiful truth about who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like when you watch a show, you know, like we have certain TV shows that we're not huge TV watchers, but you can't wait to tell people about it when you've seen it because of what it's done inside you of, and when it's the gospel and you're really resting in and dwelling on how your life is completely 100% different and better and glorious and like the hope for the future and the freedom to be the way that you were made, all those things. Yeah. When we allow ourselves to really reckon with it, then it's just the most natural thing in the world to want to tell somebody.
Yeah, it is. So tell me a little bit more about the impact of scripture memory, particularly in your own life.
Sure. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is in the mornings, 3 or 4 mornings a week, I'll run in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But the first third of it and the last third of it or so, I walk just to kind of warm up and to cool down. And it's just part of my practice that I don't plan on what scripture I'm going to think about. Very often it's whatever song that I'm working on, but I just use that time to kind of continue my prayers from the morning and ask the Lord to bring to mind what he wants from me to dwell on from his word. And, you know, frankly, since I've been writing scripture songs for almost 20 years, there's a lot. There's like a big catalog, and I just feel this sweet sense of joy and freedom in just going, all right, Lord, what do you have to bring to mind? And then whatever he brings to my mind, I sing it quietly as I'm walking and just meditate on whatever that is with the thought that this is actually what the Lord has for me right now. And so it creates this really intimate sense of communion with him where, oh, this is what you want me to dwell on. So I'm going to really think about these words and feel and hear what you're saying to me through it. Kind of like when you pray through scripture with your Bible open, just pause when there's a conviction or an encouragement or a reminder that brings some other part of my life to mind. And that very often brings me to praying for my family or my friends or just praising him for something. So like in a really practical sense, it starts really early in the day. But in the bigger sense, I think it's probably shaped my whole life and hopefully maybe my character in just subtle ways that, you know, they say how you become like the people that you hang around. And so the more you're in the word, the more you're hanging around Jesus. And I'm still as desperate for him and his spirit and his life as I have ever been. But there is something to the habit of needing him and engaging in that habit through the word that just makes his promises of his spirit bearing fruit in our lives more present and more real. So that's a long answer.
I love that answer though, because what you're communicating is this intimacy with Christ that you have because you're hearing his words, his real actual words to you. I think sometimes when we pray or when we're going through something hard, it's like we want Jesus to write us a postcard, right? We want him to answer our question or whatever, show us the way to go. But in so many ways, he already has, you know, like his scripture is him talking to us. And if we really believe that, then when we're meditating and we're memorizing it, we're hearing his words for us. He is speaking to us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's funny, as you say that, what I always have to kind of remember too is the intimacy with God, say through scripture, he's available all the time, like every moment. And so I'm not sure that I'm any, you know, I'm no better at being intimate with the Lord than anybody else. But the more that we put ourselves in front of scripture and allow and ask for his presence and expect to be, you know, ministered to and communicate with him, then the more we get to experience that. I think about it from like a positive and negative standpoint. Like, I want to build a life of reminders because I just need reminding all the time, because I'm still, you know, just, you know, corrupt and just still in the flesh, you know? So yes, I need Jesus all the time. So by building a life of reminders, what I mean is like participate in things in church, not because I'm really drawn to that. That's something that I would like to do, but because, you know, you need to be around other Christians, you know, you need to be around people that are praying. So, and I mean, we have scriptures on our walls in the house, partly because I just need to remember, and I'm so prone to forget. The other side is like creating guardrails. So you want life of reminders, and you also want guardrails to keep you in the life that God has called you to. Anyway, I don't want to get off topic, but.
No, I actually love that imagery of guardrails, because I feel like God has, in his word, he's shown us what's going to make us thrive. What is going to make our lives beautiful and purposeful and good. And like every human wants that. We want that. And if we are diligently, you know, recognizing and constantly reminding ourselves, like you said, about these reminders of what those good paths are, what those guardrails are, then we're actually doing the best thing for ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, what, you know, we talk about self-care. This is like the best kind of self-care.
Yeah, the best kind of self-care is knowing I can't care for myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Only the Lord can care for me, so I'm going to run to him.
Hey friend, are you looking for a last minute Christmas gift? Well, we've got you covered over here at Dwell Differently. We've got gift cards that you can get anytime and give to somebody for Christmas. We also have gift memberships. So if you want to give a gift membership, their membership will start in January, the first week of January. So you can give somebody a gift membership for 4, 8, or 12 months. And that gift will go into effect right there at the beginning of 2024. So if you're looking for that last minute Christmas gift, we've got you covered. Okay, so we could keep talking about this, but you're right. We should keep going. I would love to hear just a little bit more about this conviction that you have to share scripture with families and kids.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I was growing up, I never liked little kids. And
That's hilarious.
Isn't that funny? I was always like, ew, they're kind of sticky and gross. And then when we had kids, I was like, okay, I like my kids. But other people's kids were still kind of sticky and gross. And then when the Lord just sort of changed my heart through making stuff for my kids and through figuring out how to be a good dad. So like the short story is, by the time my oldest was about 4, 5, or 6, I was really struggling because I was starting to feel the weight of being like a leader, a Christian leader in the home. And I just knew I was a sinner and I was going to fail in front of her and I was going to lose my temper and I would mess up and, you know, think, how I just can't do this, Lord. I can't be as good of a dad as I want to be. Yeah. And what the Lord brought me to in that was that was perfect, which you probably even know what I'm getting at. But I had to learn that my kids had to see my weakness and not see a great Christian dad, but see somebody that needed Jesus. Right. And if they could see me need Jesus, then I would be the dad that they need. And so that set me free, Natalie. And it was a watershed moment for me to realize, oh, I just get to be a believer in front of them and needy for the Lord in front of them. I still am their dad and their leader. They still have to do what I say. And even if I mess up, I can apologize to them later, but they still gotta follow me. Mm-hmm. But that albatross of having to perform for my kids in this perfect dad kind of way was gone. And I felt so much freedom from that, that I wanted to tell other parents about it. I wanted to tell other families and moms and dads and encourage the kids in this life of the gospel that the Lord has set me free into, but also help parents remember that it's not, the burden is easy. The yoke is easy. The burden is light. And that we don't have to perform and be perfect in front of our kids. We just have to be needy and desperate for the Lord in front of them, which means like we get to be the chief apologizers. We get to be the, you know, like model repentance. Mm-hmm. And so that's just an exciting way to live. And so the way that got to scripture memory is I had already started writing songs for kids and families because of this kind of mission the Lord had me on. But I started writing scripture songs when we were homeschooling. And I was in charge of music and Bible, and they couldn't memorize scripture. My oldest could memorize, like for the week, she'd remember it. But then a couple weeks later, she would have forgotten it. Until I started putting them to melody. Wow. I put them to melodies, and they just snapped them up. And it was unbelievable. And I'd already started making Slugs and Bugs records. So I thought, well, I've got to record these for all the families out there. And then the Lord just, it was so refreshing and wonderful to me to spend so much time working on scripture through song. And the parents that, you know, got the records loved them so much. It was just really clear the way the Lord uses all kinds of circumstance to communicate to us. It was clear what I was supposed to be doing.
I love that. Randall, I want to go back to what you said about the freedom that we have when it's not about our performance or our perfection. And that's essentially what this verse is about. So I want to dive into this verse and what it speaks into. The reality of your situation, the truth of who we are as people is borne out in scripture. It supports it. It undergirds it. It speaks to us and it says, yes, this is your experience and this is your need. And it's been met for you in Jesus. So I'm going to talk about this verse. I'm going to read it again for our listeners. And then let's dive in. It says, okay. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. So Titus 3:4-5a. And so I just feel like that's exactly what you've been talking about, is that, you know, we have this tendency as parents and as people to say, here are the good things that I do. Are they enough? Are they going to prove to people or to God that I'm valuable, that I'm worthy, that I'm, you know, that can I earn it? And this verse says, no, it's the opposite. So can you speak into that just a little bit?
Yes. And, you know, we can hardly be blamed for thinking that way because that's how the world works. Mm-hmm. You know, we earn our grades in school. We earn our money at work because of our performance. So it's a completely counterintuitive, you know, revolutionary way to think that the Lord authored through his story of coming to be with us, which is what the verse is about. So yeah, we can't, like, you know, no shame in making that mistake because that's the way everything else works. But Jesus is saying, this is not how I work. And it's not how you work with me. Mm. You'll be set free in this world if you forget the way things work at your job and you trust me that I have done everything that you need for your care and provision. And you can be joyful in all the circumstances in your life because I'm with you and you can trust me. And if we really believe that, it changes everything about how we go throughout the day thinking about ourselves. We feel loved and cared for. Thinking about other people, we can have mercy and pity and compassion way quicker because we know we're cared for. We got a wellspring of supply. So I'm here for you instead of what about my needs? Because the Lord is taking care of my needs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the verse, you know, the passage right before you all's scripture memory verse for the week, it's Paul saying in this letter, one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved. I mean, I think about each one of those words, any one of them I can relate to. Foolish, you know, wasting time, disobedient, doing the things that I know I shouldn't do, deceived and enslaved. I think that, you know, deceived anytime we rushed after something shiny, you know, because we thought it would fill us up. Mm-hmm. Enslaved, I had to take Facebook off my phone because I would just scroll and suddenly I was like, whoa, have I just lost an hour? So there's all different kinds of ways that those words apply to us. And it goes on to say, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, we lived in malice and envy. Mm-hmm. All those things, we relate to them because those are inspired by that other way of life. That other way that says, I gotta make it myself. I gotta like be perfect. And we know we can't. So we have envy. And then malice happens when we think we want other people to fail so we can succeed. It's because we're thinking about things, our lives and the world's economy.
Yeah.
But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior appeared, he saved us. And it's important to think about all those things before that because he saved us from all of that. Mm-hmm. All of that is, it's out of context anymore for me and for you and for anyone who's in Christ. Not because of anything we had done, because that's not how he measures things, but because of his mercy, because he measures things by his mercy and he had all the mercy. Mm-hmm. So I can't remember the question anymore. I just got excited.
Preach on, preacher man. I love it. I think that's beautiful, that contrast, you know, that we see. And like you said, like the way that the world measures things, the way that we humanly try to measure ourselves. And then that failure, that where we see ourselves grasping for things that are going to make us happy, things that are going to fill us up, things that are really ultimately, like you said, deceiving us and tricking mm-hmm. us into chasing after them, when in reality, there's no life there. But our verse says, you know, here, instead of that, look at the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, who appeared, mm-hmm. who came, you know, in order to give you not what you deserve, but mercy. Mm-hmm. And I just think, man, that is so good. It's the best news I've ever heard.
It's the best news going. Yeah. I mean, like, there's so many ways to apply kindness and love in the context of him coming and appearing. Like, leaving the throne and coming and being born as a baby. Like, all of the ways that he had to humble himself for just a bunch of yokel yahoos that, you know, just can't find our way in the dark. And he saw us and loved us, and the kindness and love propelled him. And like in Philippians 2, he, for the joy set before him, which was the redemption of our souls, you know, and the adoption of us into his family. So yeah, when we really meditate on a verse like this, there's a lot of meat there to just really chew on and think and just be grateful and mm-hmm. remember his faithfulness through.
Yeah, I think as you're talking and we're talking about this idea of what Jesus has done for us, you know, there's a lot of ways that God could have saved humanity. But like you saying, like, he came humbly as a baby. Like, he could have come as a full-grown man. He could have spent a day or two, a couple weeks maybe, teaching us all the stuff, you know, could have written the Bible himself, could have done all of that. And yet he was God, Emmanuel, God with us. He didn't, you know, consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but he humbled himself and took the form of a servant. And he spent 33 mm-hmm. years with us, you know, mm-hmm. washing our feet and correcting all of our wrongs and living perfectly and loving us exactly like we need to be loved. And it's just like the idea of a God, like a glorious, perfect, worthy of worship at all times, only and ever, doing that, and then to give his life as a ransom, you know, like to pay the price of our sin, to take that on even though he was sinless, is just mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. I take so much comfort in knowing that he knows what I'm going through, mm-hmm. that he had flesh and bones. You know, he fell and he had friends betray him. He knows. We don't have a savior that doesn't know. We have one who knows. Mm-hmm. And so we come to him not as a, you know, a God somewhere far off in space, but as a brother and a friend.
So beautiful. Okay, Randall, I think we have time for one more thing. I would love, as the Christmas season is here and Christmas coming and approaching, we're all going to celebrate this kindness and love of God that he sent in his Savior Jesus. But how can we guard ourselves in this season of purchasing presents and achieving and kind of measuring ourselves by all these things and kind of the, I think sometimes it becomes this like this intense like rat race for Christmas for so many of us. But how can we instead practically prepare ourselves to receive and experience the love and the kindness and the mercy of God this Christmas? Ironically, sometimes we quote unquote celebrate Christmas, but we're really not celebrating Christ. We're really focused on all these other things. So how do we get to that place where we can receive and believe in and experience this love and kindness of God our Savior?
You know, when you ask that, I think, how am I going to remember the Lord this year? And I think what comes to mind is just continuing to give myself permission to be slow, because so much of what keeps us from dwelling with him is the pace, and the we feel like we have to fill every nook and cranny of our lives, and that our kids have got to go to this activity. I mean, sometimes we skip church because we need a break. Now, I don't recommend it unless it's like what the Lord is leading you to do. But if I'm feeling stressed and if our family is just kind of feeling like we might need a break, I get up early in the mornings anyway. And I ask the Lord, should we not go to church today? And a few times a year, we don't go to church because our family needs to stay home and have breakfast together and move slow. But that's what comes to mind for me, is giving ourselves permission to slow down so that we can hear the Lord. Because he's always here. He's with us right now. He's with your listeners, wherever they are. Mm-hmm. And his presence is complete. And all we ever have to do is just stop. I've got a mentor that tells me that to the difference between relaxing and resting is that relaxing, you can fail at. When if you just say, I just can't relax, I just can't get, you know, get relaxed. But resting is just stopping. Just stop and rest. It's just the lack of activity. And anybody can do that. And, you know, the Lord is always present for us when we're moving fast too. But, you know, his way is in the whirlwind, but his way is also in the still small voice. So maybe we just need to give ourselves permission this year to slow down, say no to things, not like big things like, am I going to go to the office Christmas party? But like, am I going to take 5 minutes this season and read these little devotions, or make a little list of people that you want to pray for and just pray for them? And through prayer, the Lord meets us.
I love that, Randall. That is a really, great word. I think in the midst of the hustle and the bustle and all of the things and all the pressures that we maybe put on ourselves that maybe we don't even need to feel so oftentimes mm-hmm. to just stop. So thank you for that. Thank you for joining us today. And I just want to say for our listeners, anybody who has kids or who knows kids, or if you're like Randall was before he got to become a reformed kid lover, you don't even like kids very much, I would still encourage you to go check out some of the things that Randall has coming up. And, you know, there's one more thing that isn't here yet, but I'm so excited about. He has a scripture hymnal website coming out this summer, right?
That's right.
This coming summer. I mean, it's cold and it doesn't feel like it's coming, but it's coming. And just like the warmth of the sun is coming back at us, this scripture hymnal website is going to be a beautiful light in the world. And I am so excited about it. Can you just give us a little kind of plug for that? Because I think it's going to be fantastic.
Yes, thank you. Well, the scripture hymnal is 100 word-for-word scripture songs for congregational singing. So different than the Sing the Bible, Slugs and Bugs stuff that's kind of just for bopping around in your car. This is for churches, for adults and families, multi-generational, intergenerational worship. And so that book will come out in September of 2024. But the website with all of the audio for all the songs will be up earlier in 2024, so probably in the summer, if not before. So yeah, I'm super excited about it just because, you know, my dream and hope is that all of these stories of transformation and healing and this kind of amazing journeys families have been on, soaking up scripture through the Slugs and Bugs songs over the years, what if that could happen in the church? Mm. And the church could be just transformed in further ways by biblical literacy and the way that the Lord shapes us through his word.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. And I mean, honestly, like so much of scripture already is, it's already a song. You know, the Psalms are a song. There are, you know, obvious songs that we see in the New Testament that are like, man, I don't want to sing that. So I can't wait to hear those words and to learn them and to learn scripture through those songs. And I'm definitely going to plug it with our worship leader at my church.
Yeah. This verse that you have for this episode today, this is going to be one of the songs.
I cannot wait. And hopefully we can, maybe not on this episode, but soon share that with our audience, because we would love for you to memorize this verse in song and in its bigger context, which we always love to do. We always love to look at the whole context of a verse.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. Thanks for mentioning it. And if folks want to learn more, they can go to scripturehymnal.com or also slugsandbugs.com.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for joining me today, Randall. This has just been such a pleasure, and I really appreciated having you on the show.
Thanks so much, Natalie. It's super fun.
Hey, I know you know that we love memorizing Bible verses over here as well. And all month long, we are talking about a Bible verse. But did you know that we have a membership where you actually get a kit in the mail that comes with temporary tattoos, a key tag, and a print that has this month's design on it? And it's always just the most beautiful design. But those temporary tattoos and that key tag and that print, those are visual reminders all throughout the month to help you remember and dwell on this month's verse. So go to dwelldifferently.com and check out our membership.